Our study tonight is out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 36, verses 16 through 38, God's gracious vindication of his wrongly profaned reputation. Though the people of God are to be holy, separate from sin, the presence of sin natures and even God's people always presents the risk of those people misrepresenting their righteous God before the unsaved so that the lost think poorly of the Lord, and his personal reputation is damaged in the eyes of the unsaved. All you have to do is go back through church history and look at the crimes of alleged Christians, what they have done to people, and it causes and has caused many unsaved people to think lowly of the Christian God. Well, this is an intolerable situation to God, for he desires every lost person to know the truth about himself. So God will graciously vindicate his reputation, a truth that is taught in the passage that we have tonight, Ezekiel 36, verses 16 through 38. I would like to read the passage and then we'll look at it. Ezekiel 36, beginning at verse 16. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it. By their own way and by their doings, their way was before me as the uncleanness of a removed or a menstrual woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them, for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the Gentiles, and they were dispersed through the nations. According to their way and according to their doings I judged them. And when they entered into the Gentiles, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, These are the people of the Lord, yet they are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel hath profaned among the Gentiles, whither they went. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the Gentiles, whither you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the Gentiles, which you have profaned in the midst of them. And the Gentiles shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the Gentiles and gather you out of all the nations, and will bring you back into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and practice them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the grain and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field. You shall receive no more reproach of famine among the Gentiles. And you shall remember your own evil ways and your doings that were not good. And you shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your sakes do I do this, saith the Lord God. Be it known unto you. Be ashamed and confounded for your own ways, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day that I have cleansed you from all your iniquities, I will cause also you to dwell in the cities, and the waste places shall be built. The desolate land shall be tilled, whereas I lay it in the sight of all that passed by. And they shall say, This land that was desolate is become like the Garden of Eden, and the waste and desolate and ruined cities have become fenced and inhabited. Then the Gentiles that are left around about you shall know that I, the Lord, built the ruined places, and plant that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will perform it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel, to do for it for them. I will increase them like men, with men like a flock, as the holy flock, as the flock of Jerusalem and her solemn feasts, so shall the waste cities be filled with flocks of men, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful section of scripture. The Lord complained to Ezekiel that Israel had profaned his reputation before the Gentiles. And of course, this is always something that bothers the Lord. He's very concerned that people understand who and what he really is. Well, God told Ezekiel that when Israel lived in her own land, she defiled it by actions of sin. Israel's sins in God's view were like the ceremonial uncleanness of menstrual impurity. Accordingly, the Lord had poured out his wrath on his people for their murder of the innocent and for their worship of pagan idols whereby they had defiled the promised land. God then scattered Israel among the Gentiles. But when they were scattered, they profaned the reputation of God so that the Gentiles said, "These are the people of the Lord," and yet they had to go out of his land. The Gentiles thus implied that the bad behavior of Israel's people conveyed the impression that their God was no different from the gods of the Gentiles. So the Gentiles spoke sarcastically about Israel's God. Now, for the Gentiles, you're going to say, you know, they've been saying for such a long time that their God is better than our gods. We worship idols that are, you know, made out of men's hands and so forth, and they worship the supreme heaven of God of heaven and earth. But look at them. They're no better than we are. And their God kicked them out of their own land. So what kind of a God do they have? That's the question. So the Lord noticed this terrible state of affairs and had concern for his reputation, which the people of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they'd been scattered. So God promised to vindicate his reputation by graciously purifying and blessing Israel. And you know, it's amazing when you think about this, that we're going to be talking about the new birth, the spiritual birth that Jesus talks about in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus here. But it's set against the background of Israel having ruined God's reputation. So God's going to correct his reputation by graciously saving the nation. It's just amazing. The Lord clarified that it was not for Israel's sake that he would act in vindicating his reputation, but for the sake of his reputation that he was about to reverse the poor view the Gentiles had of him. God would graciously vindicate himself before the Gentiles through his once wicked people. You would think that God would choose some other means rather than his people. But this demonstrates the grace of God. He's going to take these people who have defamed his name, and he's going to purify them. And when we think about how he does this theologically, he's going to do it through the death of his own son on the cross. The grace of God is phenomenal. Anyway, that in vindication would involve a transformation of the people of Israel by God's grace. In Ezekiel 36, verse 24, God said he would gather Israel to her land from the lands to where she was scattered. Now, we, of course, believe that this scattering, it's true, Israel came back to the land after the Babylonian captivity. But the gathering that he's talking about is the ultimate gathering that occurs near the coming of the Lord in the second coming. God would then sprinkle clean water on Israel, cleansing her from all her uncleanness and from all of her idols. This reference to Jewish ritual cleansing actually refers to the regeneration of the Holy Spirit, both figuratively and literally mentioned by Jesus in John 3:5. Now, this is something that has stumped theologians for a long, long time, and there have been endless debates on this and as to mean. Understanding what Jesus meant when he told Nicodemus, gave Nicodemus this statement in John chapter 3, verse 5. Let me read it for you. In verse 5, Jesus answered and said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, those who believe in baptismal regeneration believe the water here is you're born through being baptized, and then you're also born by believing in Christ. So you have to be baptized to be saved. We don't believe that at all. Some think that what he means is being born of water, namely of the Spirit. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking to a master in Israel who knows his Old Testament like you know your New Testament. And he's referring to this passage in Ezekiel 36. And in Ezekiel 36, verse 25, "Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean." He's talking about ritual cleansing. And along with the cleansing, he says, "I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and all your idols and will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit." He's talking about the spiritual new birth, and he throws the reference to water in there because that is a signal to Ezekiel that he's talking about this passage where God figuratively referred to water. And then he literally referred to the new birth and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So except a man be born again, he cannot ascend to the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, that also implies that's how you and I are saved. You and I are saved by the same gracious way that God is going to save the nation Israel at the end of the tribulation period. And you think of the grace that is involved in saving Israel. Think of the grace that is involved in saving us. Amazing how God is so gracious. Okay. Titus 3:5 also talks about this. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. The regeneration of the Holy Spirit is often pictured as washing. And it goes back to this passage, Ezekiel 36, verse 25. Okay. At that regeneration, God would put a new heart and a new spirit within his people, removing the heart of stone from their flesh and giving them a heart of flesh, namely a heart that was responsive to God, a reference to the new birth mentioned by Jesus in John 3 and by the Apostle John in 1:13, where he says, who were born not of the flesh nor the something, but of God. I forget that verse. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Gives that important verse. Anyway, God would then put his own Holy Spirit in his people and cause them to walk in his statutes and heed his rules so that they would be his God's people and he would be their God. John chapter 3, verse 3. I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God, born of the Spirit of God. So this is a wonderful passage because this indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we believers in the church enjoy. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says that we're baptized by the Spirit of God and into the Spirit of God by the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:9, if a man does not have the Holy Spirit, he doesn't belong to Christ. So this is the new birth that we have. Saved Israel will experience this indwelling in Christ's kingdom. There's a prophecy in Joel chapter 28, verses 32, where God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. This is at the beginning of the Messianic kingdom. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy and see visions. They're going to be gifts of the Spirit of God are going to be poured out on Israel in a magnificent profuseness. And, of course, this hasn't happened on the nation Israel. When the church in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost had the filling of the Spirit, Peter said this is that same thing. He didn't say this is a fulfillment of that passage. He says this is that same thing. The foretaste of what Israel is going to experience at the Messianic, the beginning of the Messianic kingdom. Anyway, God would then pour out material blessings on saved Israel in the millennial kingdom, or the Messianic kingdom. And this is verses 29 to 38 of Ezekiel 36. The promised land would produce abundant grain harvests in place of famine. The increase of fruit trees and field crops would be great, forever ending famine in the land. Israel's people would recall their former sins and loathe themselves over them. And God added that their regeneration would occur, not occur because Israel deserved it, but for the sake of the reputation of God. Israel's cities would then be inhabited, her waste places rebuilt, her desolate places tilled as farmland so that the Gentile nations would marvel at God's goodness and restorative grace to Israel. See, the Gentiles are going to say, this is like the Garden of Eden. And that's going to be something. God would then let Israel ask him to multiply her people. And God would graciously, abundantly multiply even his once wicked people so that Israel would know that he was the Lord. It's just breathtaking when you consider the grace of God. So though Israel by her sins had profaned the name of God before the Gentiles, God in great grace would save, he would purify, he would bless Israel, causing the Gentile nations to marvel at God's goodness and at his grace to her. So, may we marvel at God's grace to us in the new birth. We get in on this same new birth because of God's mercy. It was not revealed in the Old Testament that this is going to go beyond just Israel at this particular time, but it is revealed to us by the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Apostle Paul that the new birth applies to us as well because we are in Jesus Christ. See, you and I get involved in the blessings of the Messianic kingdom because we are uniquely united to the Messiah, who's the head of the kingdom. So that's why you and I, as Christians, as Gentiles who are saved, get in on all these marvelous blessings. So we need to marvel at God's grace to us. We deserve, every single person here, including myself, deserves hell because we are sinners. But God in his grace saves us when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. And that's such a wonderful thing. And this new birth will be applied to the future saved Israel. And of course, Israel is going to recognize her Messiah, and she's going to grieve over the fact that she missed believing in him. Zechariah chapter 12 and 13 talks about this. But God says, I'm graciously, I'm going to open up a fountain of cleansing for the nation of Israel. And Israel will be cleansed from her sins and will be saved. So it's a wonderful, wonderful future that nation has.